Sam battles bird instincts. Frightful had completely panicked when Sam reached under her in the thunderous storm. She flew into the drenching rain and gained altitude, ready to strike him with all the force of her speeding body. A powerful gust of wind caught her wings and swept her upriver. Its downdraft pulled her toward the water. She fought wind and rain to get back to the bridge, but the storm was the master. She gave up and dropped into a calm eddy of air behind a bank of willows.
"Cree, cree, cree,"
she called from a dead stub. Lightning burned streaks in the sky, and thunder cannonaded.
"Cree,"
she called once more, then pulled her head down between her shoulders and let the rain run off her body. Through the storm, she listened for 426. She had last seen him swooping down on the man in the cherry picker.
"Cree!"
There was no answer from 426. She waited in the willow tree until her fear subsided. It was short-lived. In moments, she was quietly listening to the rain slap the leaves around her. After a long time, the deluge stopped. In less than 2 seconds, Frightful was back on the horizontal girder of the bridge. She walked to the wet scrape, turning under her talons so as not to injure the young.
"Cree!"
she called. No Aias answered, nor did 426. At recess, Molly and Jose came splashing through big puddles to the bridge. They stood before it, looking up at the webs and the graceful bow.
"The bridge has changed," Molly said. "It's dead."
"Yeah," said Jose. "No peregrines. Not even a coat of red paint can make it fun again."
The two walked along the bank and watched frogs jump into the river until the bell rang at the end of recess. They started back. Leon Longbridge pulled up beside them.
"Listen to this," he said, waving a paper. "It's from the governor."
"Read it. Read it, please," said Jose.
"It's addressed to me and the students of Delhi Middle School," he began. "Thank you for your many well-written letters concerning the peregrines of Delhi Bridge. I am pleased to inform you that I share your concern. Work will stop on the bridge on Route 28 until the young peregrine falcons are fledged. Although the bridge repair is urgent, our endangered species once gone cannot be brought back. Therefore, I have told the head of the Transportation Department of the State of New York to work on Bridge 92 at Gilboa until the little family is on wing. My administration actively protects the environment of New York State, and I am happy you are in favor of this policy. Sincerely, Governor George Markey."
"Too late," Molly whispered, tears in her eyes.
"For lack of understanding," Leon Longbridge said, "we've lost 3 beautiful Aiases."
"Can I read the letter?" Molly asked.
"I've made you a copy," Leon said, handing her a paper. "And one for you, Jose." After rereading the letter 3 times, Jose folded it and put it in his pocket.
"We've got to catch the poachers," he said. "We've got to get the babies back."
He turned hopelessly to Leon Longbridge.
"How can we do that?"
"The state troopers are looking for them right now," Leon said, "and the Department of Motor Vehicles is checking the ownership of all the Chevy pickups. So far, nothing." Molly put the letter in her book and, without another word, walked back to school. Jose walked silently behind her. Frightful stared into her empty scrape. Restless and upset, she flew to the park, caught a pigeon, and carried it to the cupola of the courthouse. She ate and watched for 426. When she was comfortably full, she carried the remains back to the scrape and tore off an Aias bite. There were no open beaks to fill. She peered at the girder, waiting for the little falcons to thrust up their heads. They didn't. She swallowed the food. Frightful didn't leave the eyrie. Her mothering instincts were strong. She still felt the presence of her chicks.
but as the hours passed and her Iases did not appear, the feeling began to fade. Without her young to inspire her, it would not take many days for the nurturing instinct to die. In the early afternoon, Frightful left the bridge and flew over the town, the river, the mountains, in wider and wider circles. Eventually, she flew over 426, perched on the one hemlock on the one mountain. In seconds, she was beside him. A movement below caught her eye. She tipped her head. Sam had stepped out of the tree.
"Cree, cree, cree, caree," she called.
"Frightful," he cried joyfully. "Where are you? I hear you."
He whistled and stepped back.
"Oh, Frightful," he said when he saw her. "I have your little Ayas. She's right here. Follow me."
Sam put Oaksy into his soft backpack, shouldered it, and started climbing. 426 cried out the peregrine alarm and sped off. Frightful stayed. When Sam reached the nest box, she was only 10 feet above him. He held up the Ayas.
"Here she is. You must feed her. She's hungry."
He placed the downy chick in the box and hurriedly climbed to the ground. Frightful watched him. Sam watched her. There were no hunger cries from Oaksy. She was too perplexed by the box. She sat still, waiting for her mother. Oaksy couldn't see Frightful from inside the enclosure, and Frightful couldn't see Oaksy from where she was sitting. She must hear the Ayas call to locate her. Sam paced and watched from below. The little bird needed food, and needed it right away. A few hours without eating at this time of Oaksy's life would put hunger streaks in her feathers. Weakened, they would break when she was old enough to fly. Sam got his falconer's lure from the hemlock house. It was a chunk of deer hide with pheasant feathers tied to it. He spun it around his head on a long line. In action, the lure looked like a bird, food. Frightful had once been so well trained, she came to the lure even when she was not hungry, but that was long ago. She cocked her head and looked with interest at the whirling lure. Sam whistled. She sat. Finally, Sam tied the mouse to it and swung it again. Frightful saw the mouse. She dropped swiftly, hit it, and went with it to the ground. Sam picked her up.
"Frightful gal," he said, blowing out his breath in relief. "You've got a job to do. The Ayas is in that box in the tree. She's in trouble. She needs you."
Frightful didn't understand the words, but she did understand Sam's worried mood. She sat on his hand and looked at him.
"I'm going to climb the tree with you," he said. "No, you'll fly if I do that. I'd better jess you first."
Sam carried her into the hemlock tree.
"Cree,"
she called, recognizing the cozy interior of the one tree on the one mountain. She roused and sat contentedly. Sam cut 2 thin pieces of deer hide, made 3 holes in each, and, tucking ends inside holes, he fastened Jess's to her legs with the falconer's knot, the knot that never binds. Frightful felt the Jess's go taut as Sam gripped them between his thumb and forefinger. It was a familiar feeling. She wiped her beak on his fist and sat erect. He walked outside.
"No one had better see us now," he said with a chuckle. "I'd be hauled off to jail for practicing falconry without a license."
Frightful fluffed. Sam started climbing. His maneuvers around limbs were jerky, and Frightful thrust out her wings to keep her balance. Twice, she tried to fly. They finally reached the box. Sam placed her in it.
"Psee!"
called Oaksy. Frightful heard the feeble cry of her chick. In her eagerness to reach her, she struck the box hard with her wings. The hollow sound was terrifying. She took off.
"Oh, no," Sam gasped. "You're wearing Jess's. I'm in real trouble if anyone sees you."
Then he added,
But I don't care. You know where the Ayas is. You'll come back and feed her.
Frightful screamed as she flew around the mountaintop in wider and wider circles. She calmed down, remembered the hunger cry of her Ayas, and dove gracefully toward the tree. Suddenly, a red-tailed hawk grabbed Frightful's jesses, mistaking them for food. He pulled her downward, then let go before they both fell into the trees. Catching herself on her acrobatic wings, Frightful skimmed up through and over the trees. She flew down the mountain like a hurtled rock and alighted on the Delhi Bridge. Panting, she gazed at the river until she was calm. The painters were back at work. A car screeched to a stop, and the driver pinned his binoculars on Frightful.
"I'll be darned," said Perry Knowlton, a falconer.
He picked up his car phone and called his friend, John Wood.
"Lose a peregrine?" he asked.
"No. Why, you see one?"
"Yeah, and she's wearing jesses," Perry said.
"Where are you?"
"I'm at the Delhi Bridge. There's a jessed falcon on the bow. What do you make of that?"
"There was a pair of wild falcons nesting there," said John, "but they didn't have jesses.
Call Leon Longbridge. He might have heard about a lost falcon. I can't come help you. I've a week of school shows coming up."
"I'll try to follow her," Perry said, and hung up. Frightful dove into a flock of pigeons wheeling out over the river, snatched one in the air, and flew on. Perry watched her as he drove along the riverside highway. When she flew up mountain, he parked, jumped from his car, and kept her in sight until she disappeared. Then he picked up the car phone and dialed Leon Longbridge. His answering machine went on.
"This is Perry, Leon," he said into the machine. "There's a jessed peregrine flying around here. John Wood doesn't know anything about her. She's just gone up the river toward Treadwell. I'll drive along that road and ask the residents if they know anyone who has a falcon around here."
He thought a moment and went on.
"Would you call your boss in Albany and inquire about licensed falconers in this area? I don't know of any except John Wood and me, but there may be others."
Frightful was over Sam's mountain, hovering above the one tree, searching for her Ayas. The roof of the box prevented her from seeing inside. She flew to a large oak. This was a familiar tree. On its broad limbs sat the wigwam Sam had made for Alice. Alice was not at home. Frightful bobbed her head and twisted it as she stared at the box in the hemlock. Oaksy was there. As much as she disliked flying through forest limbs, she must. Hopping from oak to maple to hickory to tulip tree, the pigeon still in her talons, she made her way to the top of the ancient hemlock.
"Cack, cack, cack, cack!"
Frightful cried the alarm call of the peregrine and dove at a monster-like creature in the tree. She didn't scare it. It moved closer to Oaksy. The bulky thing had a tanned chicken, feathers, head, comb, and all for a head. A burlap bag hung down from it. The head moved into the box. In its beak was food. Oaksy snatched it and ate. The monster withdrew and returned with more food. Oaksy gulped. The ogre disappeared, and Oaksy came to the edge of the box. She peered down at this strange mother. The head wiggled as hands stuck food into the chicken beak. Then the monster mother climbed back to her. Oaksy ate. She ate until her crop stuck out and she could eat no more. The monster mother went down the tree to the ground. Sam Gribbley took off the burlap bag on which he had affixed Alice's whole tanned chicken skin. He looked for Frightful.
"I scared her badly," he said aloud, "but at least her Ayas ate. She didn't see my face, so she won't imprint on me."
Then he thought about what he had done and chuckled. He spoke aloud.
"You had better come back and feed her, Frightful," he said, "or she'll be imprinted on a monster chicken."
Sam drove a stick into the ground and drew a line along its shadow. The shadow would move away from the line as the sun moved. He could tell by the distance it traveled how much time had passed. At this time of year, it would move 3.5 inches each hour.
"The little Ayas is good for maybe 3 hours," he said to himself. "If Frightful doesn't come by then, I'll have to be a chicken monster again."
He grinned and went inside his tree to write in his journal.
"I think I gave Frightful an awful scare," he wrote.
The hours passed. The stick shadow moved 10.5 inches, 3 hours. Frightful sat motionless on a tree stub above the west branch of the Delaware. She was still afraid, but at the same time pulled to her chick in the one tree. The sun shone on her blue-gray shoulders and gleamed in her large eyes. Her feet gripped the dead limb more and more tightly. She couldn't relax. Hunger finally forced her to move. She flew up the river valley, spotted a rat moving along the side of a farm silo, and took it. She carried it to the courthouse cupola. Tenderly, she plucked a bite and held it in her beak, waiting for an Ayas to take it. None did. She swallowed it. Suddenly, Frightful's need to return to her Ayas overwhelmed her fears. She spread her long, tapered wings and flew toward Oaksy, rat in her talons. A soft wind carried her swiftly up the mountainside. She circled the one hemlock. No monster with a chicken head hung in the branch. Frightful landed on the tree. The box and the Ayas were gone.
"Cree, cree, cree, kareet," she cried.
"Not the tree," Sam called from below. "The Ayas is on the roof of the mill house. I put her out in the open where a peregrine's eyrie should be."
Frightful saw Oaksy. She sped down, food in her talons, and landed on the floor of the box. Oaksy screamed. Sam watched, his fists clenched, his body tense. Frightful tore off a morsel and fed Oaksy.
Phew.
Sam let out a long, long breath.